Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
Romans chapter 5, verse 9, Paul says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Now this is a statement regarding every single believer being now justified by his blood. Justified. Without guilt. If I'm justified, that means I've never done anything wrong and I've always done that which is right. Now we realize this justification comes through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because of my works, but because of his works. But this is the heritage of every believer, being now justified by his blood. Since I am now justified, in God's sight, I have always been justified. Now listen to me very carefully. God said in Exodus 34, "I will by no means clear the guilty." If God ever views me as guilty, he will not justify me. That would be wrong because God is just. If I am now justified in the sight of God, I've always been justified. Now, how is that? Well, before my experience of life, I've always been known by God. This is true of every believer. He said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Now think of that. Before I had any existence, God says, he knew me. He knew me. You see, all of God's elect, every believer, has always been in the Lord Jesus Christ. Always been united to him. Everything we have, we've always had. Because the Scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:9, he saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Everything the believer has, including justification, was given him in Christ Jesus before the world began. If I'm justified before God now, I've always been justified before God. Now, in my experience, I certainly have not felt justified. I felt guilty. I felt condemned. I felt under the wrath of God until he did a work of grace for me. I certainly didn't feel justified. I didn't experience justification. I feared the wrath of God. And no one has any right to believe that they're justified now or justified eternally unless they right now, in the present, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the evidence. The right now, being now justified. The reason I know that I've been eternally justified by God is because right now, by his grace, I believe the gospel. Now, if I believe, it's because he gave me that faith. But the evidence that I'm justified before God is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are in this thing called time right now. And it's very difficult, actually impossible for us to grasp eternity. We say things like eternity past and eternity future, and there's no such thing. Eternity is the present. Always. You're always in the now. There's no yesterday. There's no tomorrow. And that's why it's so difficult for us to grasp always having personality before God. The Lord always knowing me in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's true. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Now, men have a tendency, we all have a tendency, to try to make a false refuge of the past and the future. Men have a tendency to try to look to something in the past, something they've done, some experience they've had, that makes them believe they're saved now. Well, I must be saved now because of so-and-so that took place then. And they'll make a security, they'll feel secure over something that took place in the past. Now, that's not looking to Christ. You see, faith is always in the present. It's not in the past, it's in the present. I'm looking to Christ right now as the only hope I have of being accepted before God. I'm looking to Him right now the same way I looked to Him the very first time. When I first looked to Christ, I didn't have any experience. I didn't have any good works. I didn't have anything. All I had was Him. And it's no different today. I look to Him right now the same way I looked to Him the very first time I looked to Him. You see, Paul, the apostle, said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Not I used to be the chief, but right now I am the chief. And I look to Christ right now the same way I look to Him the very first time I look to Him. I don't make, or God forbid that I make, a false refuge in the past. And then there are others who make a false refuge out of the future. They say, tomorrow I'm going to get things straightened up. Tomorrow I'm going to become a Christian. Tomorrow I'm going to do all these different things. Let me tell you two things about that. First, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And secondly, any intention you have for tomorrow is works. That's all it is. It's something I'm going to do. That's salvation by works. If I make a false refuge in the past or in the future, both of those things are forms of salvation by works. Who am I looking to right now? Being now justified by His blood. Now, there's an urgency in now. When's the time for me to come to Christ? Right now. When's the time for me to believe? Right now. When's the time for me to repent? Right now. There's an urgency in now. Now, I've entitled this message, The Here and the Now. Being now justified by His blood. The here and the now. Today. This present second. Now, God is in absolute control of now, because He controls everything. And He controlled the past. He controls the future. He controls the now. And He dwells outside of time. Once again, do I understand that? No. Do I believe it? Absolutely. God is eternal. And He's in control of the now. David said, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He is in control of the now. Now, there is a similarity to now and news. I want you to think about that. There is a similarity to now and news. Something that is right now is news. There's a newness to it. Newness and nowness go together. The gospel, when it's heard in the power of the Holy Spirit, when it's heard as it should be heard, always comes as news. Something new, something fresh, something I need to hear right now. Oh, what a blessing it is when God enables me to hear the gospel as good news. It's good news to me right now. Now, do you remember in Numbers chapter 21, it's spoken of the children of Israel, that they had a change of attitude about manna. Manna came down from heaven. It was good food. It tasted like honey and wafers. It was angels' food, the scripture says. Oh, how grateful they were for that manna. But after time, the children of Israel said concerning that manna, which didn't change in taste, it didn't change in composition, but their perception of it changed. And they said regarding that manna, our souls loathe this light bread. It went from being food from heaven to light bread, insubstantial bread. We're tired of it. Perhaps they had taken it for granted and they became tired of it. And they said, our souls loathe this light bread. It was no longer good news that this bread fell from heaven and was providing for them every day. It was old. It was stale. It was light bread. We're tired of it. Now, that is why the Lord said, blessed are you that weep now. Did you hear that? Blessed are you that weep now. You shall be comforted. Blessed are you that hunger now. Right now. For you shall be filled. It's not that at one time we wept and at one time we hungered, but we weep now. We hunger now. And when that's the case, the gospel will always be news. And it will always be in the here and the now. If not, if that's not the way I hear the gospel, I'm lukewarm, like the church at Laodicea. Don't even know it. Lukewarm. The gospel doesn't come as news. Everything's okay. But oh, what a blessing it is when I hear the gospel in its newness, in its freshness, because of my present need. I weep now. I hunger now. Now, when the gospel's preached, it's preached like this. Luke chapter 14, verse 17, come, for all things are now ready. Oh, may the Lord give me and you hearing ears in thinking of that statement. The Lord says, come. For all things are now ready. There's nothing you need to do. It's all been done. Nothing you need to bring of your own. This is the great feast of fat things, wine on the lees, well refined. It's all done. There's nothing you need to do. The command of the gospel is come to Christ right now as you are. Don't try to bring anything. Don't try to do anything. All things are now ready. Now somebody says, how can that be? Well, I can tell you how that can be. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, said, it is finished. What's finished? Everything. It is finished. He didn't simply mean, my sufferings are now over. I don't have to deal with that anymore. Everything that God requires of the sinner is accomplished. It is finished. When the Lord died, He didn't suffer decay like you and I will when we die, because He completely satisfied the demands of God's justice against sin. The sins of God's elect became His sins. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and He suffered the wrath of God on Calvary's tree. And when He said, it is finished, God said, I can ask for nothing else. When the Lord said, it is finished, my salvation became history before I was even born. That's how complete His salvation is. That's why, come, all things are now ready. There's nothing for me or you to do being justified by His blood. Not by your works. Being justified by His blood, by what He did on Calvary's tree. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Being now justified by His blood. Right now, without guilt. This is true of every believer. Right now. Right now. Without guilt. You've never done anything wrong, and you've only done that which is right. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that can condemn? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now I want to give you a number of scriptures with the word now in them. Listen to this. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, we read, "And you that were before time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled," now hath he reconciled, "in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." What, I wouldn't believe that if the book didn't say it. Because of his blood, right now, he reconciled me. All barriers have been removed. He reconciled me in the body of his flesh through death. He reconciled me. And right now, before God, and this is the way every believer is, every believer before God, in God's sight, and in the way God sees is the way things really are. Understand that. God doesn't see things virtually as if they were a certain way. This is the way it really is. Because of the blood of Christ, every believer is holy, unblameable, nothing to lay to their charge, unreprovable in the very sight of God right now. In John chapter 15, verse 3, the Lord said, "Now are you clean through the word which I've spoken to you." Now somebody says, "Well, I don't feel clean." Well, if Christ died for you, you are clean whether you feel clean or not. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As long as the blood cleanses, which is eternally, you are clean. Now are you clean through the word that I've spoken to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "You who were aforetime afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ." I'm so near to God, united to Him through the blood of Christ. Near, so near to God, near I cannot be. For in the person of His dear Son, I'm as near to God as He. Dear, so dear to God, dearer I cannot be. For in the person of His dear Son, I'm as dear to God as He right now. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, we read, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now, how can that be? Well, here's the reason for this nowness, that now we are the sons of God, not enemies. If we're believers, we're not enemies. We're sons, children of God, with Him as our Heavenly Father. And here's why. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." He's called in Hebrews chapter 10 the new and the living way. And that word "new" means freshly slaughtered. Do you know the blood of Christ is never old? It's never just something that happened a long time ago. It's always fresh, always new, always powerful before God. And that's why we are now the sons of God, because Christ has now risen from the dead. Paul had been speaking of the dreadful implications of Him not being risen if that took place, but he says now He is risen from the dead. Now, right now. Hebrews 9:24 says, "Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us." Right now, there's a man in glory representing every believer, appearing in the very presence of God for us. And the reason that I'm preserved, the reason I do not fall away, the reason I'm kept, the reason I'm going to be accepted on Judgment Day is because right now there is one making intercession for me. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now, because of this nowness and this nearness we have, the time is coming when the Lord said, "The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth." And here's why. The time is coming, and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Right now, there's worship. I'm worshiping the Lord. Oh, my worship isn't accepted because of anything in me, but because there's a man in glory right now representing me. I love that scripture in John chapter 5 when the Lord said, "The time is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And in hearing His voice, here's what we hear. Listen to this. "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested," without me doing anything. Here's what you hear when you hear the gospel. "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe." Now, here's what you hear when you hear the gospel. Right now, you have a righteousness. And it's not your personal righteousness. It's the very righteousness of God. Without your works, it's given to all who believe right now. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now, listen to this. This is another thing in the now. Since I have been born of God, and this is true of every believer, we've all been born of God. We've all been born again if we're believers. We have a new nature given to us in the new birth. We're generated by the Spirit of God. Now, since I've been born of God and heard His voice and been given this new and holy nature, when I do that which I would not, which is sin, when I do that which I would not sin, but I do. When I do that which I would not, now it's no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. It's the old nature. It's that old wicked nature. It's not me that sinned. It's the sin that dwells in me. Now, that's what Paul said. Now, somebody says, "Well, that's making an excuse for sin. You're thinking it's okay to sin because it's not you that sinned. It's somebody else." Well, Paul said that, not me, but that never provides an excuse for sin because Romans 6:19 says, "Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness and holiness." This doesn't offer a believer an excuse to sin. It just explains why he still sins. Because I have this old nature. But it's now, it's not me. It's the sin that dwelleth in me. And then in 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 11, Paul had been speaking of a willingness to give to the Corinthians, and he was commending them for their willingness to give, and he says, "Now perform the doing of it." I love that. Now perform the doing of it. Now is the time for any act of generosity, love, or obedience. Not tomorrow, but right now. Now perform the doing of it. Now is the accepted time. And then another scripture is Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, where Paul said, "As then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit," speaking of Ishmael, the representative of salvation by works, persecuting Isaac, the representative of salvation by grace. "As he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that's born after the Spirit, even so it is now." Works always hates grace and has plenty of mocking to do and making up things that aren't so to say about grace. Why? If you believe in grace the way you speak to, you say you think it's okay to sin, you think it, making up all kinds of things that are not so. And I love this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now abides faith, hope, and charity. Now this is what a believer has right now. First, he has faith. Right now, I am relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking to Him for everything. My only hope is the same hope that the thief had when he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I am relying on Christ. I'm trusting this, that everything God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. I'm relying on Him. That's faith. Now abideth faith, hope. I have a hope. I have a hope that on judgment day, when God sees me, He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And here is why He's going to say that to me. Because Christ did well, and He is that good and faithful servant, and everything He did is mine. That's what I'm hoping for. I have a hope that on judgment day, I'm going to be accepted in the Beloved, that there will be no sin in me. And I also have a hope that everything from this point until then is working together for my good and for His glory. Because the Scripture says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now abideth faith, hope, and what a blessed thing it is to have hope. A hope in God, a hope in Christ. Now abideth charity. Every believer truly loves God as He is. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love His people. Everybody that loves Christ, all that the believer loves. And He loves all men in that He wants all men to hear the gospel and to be saved. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Because one of these days, I'm not going to need hope. I'll experience it. What I'm hoping for, I'll experience. I'm not going to need faith because my faith is going to be turned into sight. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ, my hope, the object of my faith, but I'll see Him then. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Oh, what a blessing to believe Christ. May God give me and you the grace to come to Him right now.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.